Miss 5678 Dances Report Podcast. I praise the Lord, right, and break the law. I take what's mine and take some more.
Close friends, somehow you turn into my girlfriend. We used to tell each other everything. I even went and bought a diamond rings, matching earrings. Everything was so cool. Lately, baby, been acting so rude.
Rumors in the blogs that Young Thug sent this artist away so he could pursue music. His name is Little Baby with Close Friends.
I would hold you. Still remember how I approached you. I think I loved you before I knew you.
What up, y'all? This is Miss 5678, and you are now tuning into the Dances Report podcast. And I'm lucky, I'm blessed to have Patrick on here. Can you tell the people what your name is so they know who you are?
Sure, yeah. My name is Patrick Opran, and yeah, I'm really excited to be here. I'm excited to be interviewed by you, Miss 5678.
Hey, it's about time.
We met such a long time ago, and we've been talking about this, and finally we're doing it.
Yes. I mean, it's been like a uphill battle because, you know, obviously, you know, I don't really get an opportunity to catch up with you because you were busy and away for a while. For those who don't know, he was in, you know, New York and working and dancing and attending Penn State. So, am I correct?
Yeah, I just graduated law school. So,
yes, congratulations.
Thank you. It's been a journey. But dance has always been my love, and I've always found time for it, sometimes having to choose it over other things.
Right.
Gladly, you know?
And guess what? Yeah. We're glad that you choose it because you do it very well. So without further ado, let me kick this off. The way that I kick this off is I do a mood check, like a self-check-in. Because a lot of the times, like now, if I didn't catch you in the midst of rehearsing at Dance Complex, it's hard to catch up with you and I both to catch ourselves in one space because we're working and stuff. So I do, you know, and a lot of the times when we do see each other in passing, we don't get to check on our well-being at that time. We're just like, hey, how you doing? Giving kisses and hugs, and then we're out. You know what I mean? So this is a good time to sort of check in. So without sort of complicating it and letting you know, I'll just kick it off first. So it's one thing that made you happy, one thing that made you mad, sad, bothered, or indifferent. So one thing that made me, you know, glad today is that I had a technician come out and finally fix my heat and my gas so that I could cook on a stove, you know what I mean? And make some Thanksgiving, okay? You know, I look forward to it. Cooking a Sunday dinner, okay? Despite this weekend is going to be crazy, but, you know, the one thing that made me sad, though, is, I'm really, like, choked up about it in a sense, is Green Street Studios closing. You know, I've expressed on the podcast numerous times that we are in need as creatives for space. Dancers in particularly, artists in particularly, we need live rehearsal spaces, we need dance rehearsal spaces. We need a space to be creative, and we are closing in. I feel like they're closing in on us in this city and eliminating or, you know, limiting the space that we are creative and the locations that we're doing it in. So I think, you know, that's what one thing that made me sad, but it's also made me mad enough to sort of take action and try to figure out, you know, what I can be in terms of the solution to that issue. So but other than that, you know, that's the one thing that I could say that one thing that made me happy and then one thing that made me sad. Nothing made me mad. Well, that did make me mad. There's nothing that's bothering me or making me feel indifferent. But other than that, on this awesome day, what was one thing that made you happy today? And one thing that made you mad, sad, bothered, or indifferent? I know it's early in the day to even try that, but,
I think for me, I'm just kind of settling in into Boston, to the Boston area. I've moved to Cambridge.
Hey.
And now it's like official. I'm you know, here indefinitely. So I'm going to be teaching a bunch and just being more present in the dance community, in the community at large. I think why I find that so amazing, I just really love this area. I think there's a lot of talent, and I think it's almost kind of strange how much talent there is when they're, you know, when exactly what you're saying, it's the arts are kind of in flux, and yeah, where people, you know, rehearse and organize. And so, yeah, I mean, now that I'm getting settled in, I just brought in a desk into my room today. And so, yeah, so I just feel like I put the last piece into my me officially calling this home.
I love it.
And then what kind of made me sad was also the Green Street news. I mean, I've had a bunch of rehearsals there. I've taken a bunch of classes there. And I think the news was just really out of the blue. I mean, maybe my thumb was not necessarily, you know, on the pulse of the dance community, but to be honest, it seems like it was kind of out of the blue for everyone, even people who are regularly there. They're closing this month, right? They announced it like maybe a day or two ago. And yeah, I think it's really sad. It's such a frequented space. But within that same vein, there are a lot of other new opportunities, too, that are sprouting up. I know Jeanette Neal is starting to teach classes again. I know that, like, the Petrozello twins have their own studio. I know it's a bit out of Boston, but, you know, it's easy enough to get to if you have a car. So, I mean, there are definitely spaces that are dying out, but there are also things that are coming up as well. So
that's the thing. That's the part where, so you know me, I work with artists and I work with dancers. So part of the problem for me is some of the artists I work with, you know, they can't, you know, it's hard for them because of scheduling and because of time and placement. They can't travel crazy far. And I need space that accommodates them across the board, because sometimes they need, you know, a live setup so that they can actually rehearse their music in a live setting, and we may need to rehearse with the band. And so this is where it gets tricky, you know. And then you have other times where the dancers, you know, we have to do a full-on production and, you know, space is limited. And then sometimes dancers are on foot and they're not as mobile as we would like to be, and they can't travel as far as we need to. So a lot of the times it's like in the inner city, we need space and we need an art outlet to be creative. Venues are scarce for us to perform and express and be creative in. So that's another thing that's irritating. Or they're super expensive. You know, they're not affordable. So.
Yeah, no. And even within that same vein, it can actually be kind of tough to even find a space.
Right.
I kind of do it. I mean, there are certain studios that you're like, I need like a month or two in advance just to book a spot.
That's crazy, because I just had that same talk that you just said. One of the managers, one of the artists that I work for, his manager is, you know, struggling with time and space now for December. We're in October. She's trying to book for December. You know what I mean? And it just kind of sucks, you know?
Yeah. Well, hopefully, I mean, now that there's just like this pocket, you know, this kind of hole, and maybe someone will just step up.
Exactly. Well, I mean, I've already started talking to a couple of different dancers. Shout out to Samba Viva, and, you know, shout out to Oliver from Trend in Motion. You know, we're trying to make some things happen. And shout out to everybody who has, you know, their studios popping right now that are new you know, up and coming. So that is part of the solution, absolutely. So with, you know, while we're talking about dancing and you know, and being present in the city, who is Patrick Popperin?
Right?
Hey, who is he? You know, I know who he is. He's dope. You guys, you got to know him. But, you know, who are you in your eyes, in your lens?
Yeah. So, I mean, my passion, too, is, I mean, I'm a huge person when it comes to just dance, and just, dance advocacy. Dance kind of changed my life. It kind of woke me up, and I'm sure a lot of people have that same narrative when they I mean, with a lot of arts, but for me, just dance really did it. There's like a physical aspect, so like, you know, a lot of body alignment and body acknowledgement, your mind's, it's like an intellectual process as well, and an intellectual practice. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, of course your soul is so in it, because you have to put your heart into it, you got to put your emotions into it. So it's like a full mind, body, soul experience, which I never had in any other thing I did in my life. And I started dancing, like for reals dancing, when I was 16. Mm-hmm. I did martial arts my whole life. So wow. I got my black belt when I was like 11 or 12. And I loved martial arts. But my family moved around a lot. And when I was 16, I walked into, not even really knowing what it was, but I kind of walked into like Alvin Ailey. Like, oh, look, a dance studio. My friend was like, we should go. So I went. And I started training there. I ended up assisting this, you know, huge New York City choreographer named Bev Brown. Wow. Helped her do stuff at Broad Dance Center. If you know, like, dance history and hip-hop history, like, Bev Brown brought hip-hop to Broad Dance Center, which is, like, crazy to think about, because that's what, like, BDC is kind of known for, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I mean, I assisted her for a while and got my fundamentals in. I ended up, like, getting a bunch of amazing mentors, like Luam and Rhapsody James.
Amazing folks.
Yeah, I mean, life-changing, you know? They just have such a perspective on life, and it really just transcends into their dancing and their teaching. And, I mean, it's just such a blessing to be around people like that. And for people like that to just believe in me. So, yeah. I mean, I was just doing a program with Rhapsody and her people this summer. Like, I just got back, I think, a week ago.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really blessed to have all the experience that I've had, even career-wise in dance. Like, I've danced for artists. I've done stuff abroad. I've done stuff in New York, now L.A., So yeah, and I just love teaching. Like, teaching and choreographing are like my true passions. Like, I love dance, but I also just love giving back. And yeah, I mean, the classes I teach, I'm trying to expand. Like, I definitely, when I choreograph for choreography's sake, like when I get those gigs or those opportunities, mm-hmm. they're a bit more advanced. But I really love teaching like my all level classes, which I like to say they're all level because they're hard for all levels. Because I really do go in. We do push-ups, we do sit-ups, we do...
That's right.
Basic dance technique, like, what does it mean to be parallel? What does it mean to be turned out? And then we go into, like, you know, what's a whack versus a lock? How do you isolate? You know, how do you isolate as a jazz dancer? How do you isolate as a hip-hop dancer?
And I love that, because you're teaching foundation, too.
Right, but it's, like, a secret, because I put it in my choreography, mm-hmm. and then we repeat it, but, I mean, you do... pretty much the same thing, you know, like I've taken your classes before, and Carl kind of does the same thing too, where it's like, here's choreo, but it's like secretly foundation work,
right? Which I think is really important too. You know,
so
culturally, where are you from? Like, what culturally, what's your background? And you touched really well on your dance background, but culturally, what's your background?
I'm Romanian. I'm a Romanian American. Hey. So Romanian is my first language. But I grew up in Queens, in New York. That's kind of like the, at least back then, it's like the immigrant hub, right? my family, post-communism, they left Romania, came here. I'd go back and forth a lot. I spent a lot of my summers, like 3 months out of the year. I've lived there too. Like, when I lived there, I lived there in between undergrad and law school, and I taught at the studio called Dance Prestige, amazing studio. Shout out to Simona, who's the owner. And yeah, she really was one of the big proponents of the dance space, in at least the urban dance space, you know what I mean, in Romania. And wow. She was really glad to be in. And I taught there for a while, and I've worked with artists as well. Yeah, and I mean, but while I was there during my gap year, and I worked at an institute that investigates communist crimes, and at night, I did my dance thing.
That's crazy. You're like a detective dancer, a right? dance detective.
I feel like I'm like Daredevil or like Hannah Montana, you know?
Right.
By day, I'm one activity. By night, I'm a whole different situation.
That is crazy. Yeah. I would have never known that. Oh my God, that's so crazy. What is your big? What was your? What's been your biggest influence?
You know, I think like my personal biggest influence was when I used to. I think it's when I discovered I loved teaching.
Mm-hmm.
So Bev was actually she actually lived in Philly. And she would like come back and forth to New York just to teach, which is like a lot of people didn't know that. But her assistants like sometimes would have to like if she was running late, like we would start class, you know what I mean? And sometimes she wouldn't really get there until like her second class, and that was like part of the program, like we'd assist slash sub for her. So I'd like sub at BDC, and I mean I would teach her stuff, but I really just like. From that perspective of not being a student or assistant, you jump into the seat of a teacher and you really see the impact that you have and just seeing people's growth. Not even the impact that you have, it's more like what happens when you facilitate such a positive space.
Mm-hmm.
People are hungry and they want to grow. And that was like one of the more influential moments of my life to realize that I have this love and this bug. And then when it comes to influential people, it has to be Janet Jackson.
Mm.
I love Janet Jackson. I mean,
I see that that influence heavy in your choreo.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure you do. It's funny. Even before like Janet was trending again, you know what I mean? Like when she like had her hiatus or when she wasn't really producing music. I mean, I used to rewatch those videos all the time. I was learning her choreo. I was learning If. I was learning All For You in, like, my dorm room. You know, secret.
That's the best. When you, look, I come from the era of, like, VHS, and you, like, record it, and you stop, and you rewind, you stop, and you rewind. Yes. That's how you learn, you know?
Yeah, totally.
A lot of people have no idea what that is, yo.
Yeah, I mean, I remember, like, now you can like slow down the stuff on YouTube, like there's like a button that like slows it down.
Really? God, that's crazy.
Now I back in the day I used to like press the space button like really quickly because that was like the play slash pause button, and that's how I'd like make things go slow so I could see like what leg they were doing and like where their body was. I'd like take notes, like I'd be at Starbucks writing down the choreo and like writing down things that I know I would mess up, so when I'd go to the studio I, like, had my academic side, right? Like, I would have a piece of paper with the choreo and my notes in the choreo, and then I'd actually try to do it. But, yeah. And that was all for me. Like, I wasn't doing it for anything. You know what I mean?
Wow. That's crazy, because I, like, you know, you would think that, you know, like, if like, people don't that don't see and know who you are, like, they don't know that you're even accessible in Boston. You know what I mean? And we're lucky.
Yeah.
We're lucky. You know what I mean?
Thanks. I appreciate that. No, thank you. Seriously. Yeah.
I'm
a bit of a Randy, but I really, I mean, I'm trying to anchor down here, you know?
Yeah. And I think you will. I think you will. What's been a little bit of your struggle?
Yeah. That's a great question. I mean, we all have struggles, but I mean, I'll talk about my band struggle, you know? I think I started dancing officially when I was like 16, and I started teaching when I was 17.
That's crazy. That's so dope.
And thanks. But how that came about was my mom, right, like archetypal, like Romanian, like, you know, mom, she was like, I didn't come to America for you to dance. Like, I'm confused, right? Like, what?
Sounds like my mother. She's Caribbean, so they're the same.
Right, and like a theme that's similar is just that dance is like part of the underculture. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
It's just not considered. It's not respected as a career.
Yeah, exactly. And so, not that she was against it, but she was kind of like, "This is random." what are you doing? And so I was like, fine, then you don't have to pay for my dance lessons. Like, I was like a bit rebellious. So I ended up teaching like fitness classes to moms. Like a studio hired me so I could pay for my dance class.
Wow.
Yeah, and I make just enough for a bus ticket and a class.
That's like, crazy.
To a T, like with taxes and everything. So that was when I got to college, I was like, I don't need dance. Like, dance was like this thing I just did. I'm going to be a student. And that lasted for like a week. I was like in the studio, just like in this random corner, just trying to do things that at a dorm room. And I would take these fitness classes at UMass. That's where I went to undergrad, at UMass Amherst. And one of the teachers there was a grad student, but she also taught at the Amherst Ballet.
Wow.
And she was like, you're amazing. Like, you should, we're looking for a teacher, like, come audition. And that was really difficult for me because I basically like was the kind of the only hip hop thing that was happening really at that time, or one of the only things that was happening in Western Mass. Mm-hmm. So I was like higher, but like on the grand scape of things, I was still like not ready to teach that like that yet. You know what I mean? But I also knew I was a good teacher and I knew I was a good facilitator. And so I was really just teaching myself. Like, I would like watch popping videos, you know what I mean? And then like learn online and just like really like go in on it. Like really like take hours and hours just to make sure I knew how to like isolate my neck, isolate whatever. So when I would go teach, I like knew what I was talking about. Like, I really didn't want to be one of those, because you know how it is. Like, a lot of hip hop teachers, maybe not as much anymore, but back then would teach hip hop, but they weren't really teaching hip hop. You know, they
yeah.
were like teaching like with a jazz technique.
Which is crazy.
Right. Which was really common outside of cities. And so I really didn't want to be that. So part of my struggle is I really had to teach myself stuff. Like I would go to New York a lot and just train on the weekends. Like, I learned dance hall. I learned, you know, popping and locking. And I knew all these things, but I wanted to be on a really high level because I had this, I don't even say blessing but curse, you know what I mean?
Well, the good thing about you is that you have the skill set to do all genres of dance, and you know, right. this, so you can't just misappropriate it, so of course you got to learn it, you know what I mean?
Right, yeah, exactly.
There was no way you was going to be able to do it and be like, okay, I can kind of half-ass it. No, mm-mm.
No.
It wouldn't even work for you anyway, because the way that you are in terms of dance, it wouldn't be. You couldn't do it. Right? Yeah, I don't see you doing it. Like, I see you being full out, like, you know, on, you know, on it, you know?
Absolutely. And I'm not, like, I don't know if I can curse on this, but I'm not, like, a half-assed person.
Nope.
You know?
Not even a little bit.
Not even, right.
So anybody taking his class, I'm just letting you know, that's not that guy. He is not that guy.
No, and
you're gonna work.
Love it. That's why people love it, because they feel like they grew after every class.
Right, right. And then I'll tell you this: you will. He will force you to work.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That is for sure.
I'm really proud of my students too. Like, the messages they send me and stuff like that.
I love the diversity in your classes. That's what I like the most.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I think it's because I come from I have a diverse element. Like, I have immigrant background. I did martial arts, and I did martial arts in Queens. So, like, I mean, I basically had to like pick up Korean because I was the only white kid at my studio, you know.
I can't imagine that. Oh my god, what?
Yeah, and I wasn't half bad either. So like, they put me in stuff, and I think from that like transcends into my dancing and like my warm up. Because I do like a whole warm up and a lot of conditioning, you know, and
wow.
I'm strict with it, and I think that comes from my martial arts side.
That's crazy that that you're able to do both of those. That's so weird to me that like you can speak you speak Romanian for sure fluent, because a mom, you already know.
Yeah.
Should jack you up if you don't know your business. You know, you don't know the culture. Because, I mean, I ain't going to lie. My mother used to be the same way. Like, listen, look, girl. Don't you get twisted. You know you need to know your culture. So, okay.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, all right. You know, like, I think I do. Like, you know, But in terms of like knowing, you know, how to speak patois and broken English and all of that stuff, that's like a you have to know how to, you know. She didn't play them games. My mother, and yeah. A lot of my, like, even because my mother's from the Caribbean, she's from Antigua, so, and I just was telling Jess, who's a boxer, you know, and she's rolling out her class and her brand, Boxing Misbehave, which is boxing techniques and soca, learning how to use movement, Caribbean movement with boxing techniques. And she's just a lover of the Caribbean culture, so I love that about her. But I was telling her how I had to date a Jamaican dude. I didn't have to, but I ended up dating a Jamaican dude, and that's how I ended up understanding my elders, like my aunt, my great aunts, my grandmother, my mom, like, because they speak faster. So Jamaicans speak slower in their dialect of Caribbean, you know, of Caribbean patois. So no lie, I literally learned everything that they would say based on being around the Jamaicans.
Yeah.
And like now, like when I speak, my mother and them is like, you don't sound like us, you sound like Jamaican.
That's so funny.
Right.
Yeah. No, and it's so interesting too, because I know a lot of like families kind of reject their culture when they come to the States.
Yeah, like, and I hate that. For what? You know?
That's their, you know, their business and their philosophy. But I think we're in a sense privileged. I think when I was a kid, I don't know if you agree with this, but I was kind of like, oh, okay, fine, I'll like speak Romanian instead of English in the house. You know. But now I'm really happy. That's how it was.
Which is good, because then you have that sense of like, okay, now I can speak, you know, in the lingo that I'm accustomed to. And at the same time, you're exposing your fan base or friends, you know, to your culture, and it doesn't feel like, you know, shameful, you know?
Yeah.
It's shameful when we don't do it.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
I agree. And I'll even go as far as to say this. It's definitely been an asset to my teaching, because when you're continuously translating, when I got to that, I would do as a kid, a lot of people in my family didn't speak English. That helps me translate movement and say it in different ways. And that's really helpful when I have students who don't speak any English or speak limited English in my classes. You know? And not that I speak their language, but at least like I have like a skill set to use to explain things or trying to communicate the best way I can. So,
which is good, because then you have we tend to have lack of culture for others, but you know, and then kind of shy away from our culture. Like a lot of Caribbean artists or dancers, you don't know they're Caribbean, you know, until, you know, a song or something comes on and they start flexing. Normally, yeah. It's like, let me learn, you know, this Janet, you know, then let me learn this hip hop, let me learn this ballet. But then, you know, like you said, they don't really explore their Caribbean culture or their, whatever their culture is. You know, I had a girl from Ukraine and Russia come through my class. Shout out to Marta Kana. She's dope. And if you're in Ukraine, Czech, or Russia, you need to take her class. She is off the chain. Like her salsa game and her hip hop and her Vogue and her everything. She's just an amazing dancer. And I can't wait for her to come back to Cambridge so that I can interview her and we can get back on this, you know, our dance tip. She came to class and she was really sent to the U.S. to sort of teach. And and she took my class and she asked me to work with her on a private. And we did. We recorded it and she posted it up. And I, you know, I'm just thinking that she's like somebody who's eager to learn Korean culture, la, 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 la. Next thing I know, I go on her page and she's like a superstar, okay? Like, and her skill set, just the way her presence and how humble she is and how she carries herself, you know she's somebody. And that's how I feel. The reason why I'm bringing this up is because that's how I feel about you. Every time it's like you're humble, but the minute you start teaching or dancing, it's a whole nother ball game. Like a whole nother person comes out. You're like, damn. You know, you turn into beast mode, and I love it. I love it.
Yeah,
you know?
Thank you. No, and I think that's how it should be, right? When you're in your stuff, when you're in your bag, you're in your bag. But
that's
otherwise,
right.
You don't know. Like you know, you don't know who's who, and you also don't know what people know.
Right, right.
You know, and I hate when people come when they have a pretense without, for no reason. I hate that. You know, that's actually pretty big in the industry. I've faced that a lot.
Well, you're going to, you know, the pretense of, like, what anything is in dance, like, you know, oh, just go over there and we'll pay you $50 to do this dance. Like, what? No thanks. You can keep that. I've actually turned down some projects because I know the time and energy it takes and the creativity that it takes and the focus and discipline it takes to do a project. And when I take on a lot of projects now, I focus more on the quality of what I can give to it versus just taking the money, you know?
Yeah.
And I'll say no now. I never used to say no, and I'll say no now because I know what I'm going to do and what I'm capable of with whatever project I'm on. So I don't give nobody no little bit here and there. And, you know, I'm not as it depends on what the project is. What people come to me more so for now than ever is the energy and the vibrant, you know, loose, sort of non-structured choreo that's fun, that is attainable, that all ages can gravitate to and learn, the non-dancer can learn, that just want to live vicariously through movement but doesn't necessarily want to have to do a pop lock or a plie or any of that stuff. They don't want to know the technique because they're not there. That's not where they are. They want to be able to move sociably and not feel like excluded from that. And that's, you know, that most of the time it's called contagious, you know, movement. That's what I'm getting hired for. In terms of artists, it's literally an artist that has something that needs to be developed and set on track. And then it's almost like a sling. I put them in the sling, get them ready, and we pull back. And then when they're done, I launch them. And then they're ready. And they often run to the next person or the next phase or chapter or season that puts them in a position to launch off their career even more. So that's what I get. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then every now and then I have to do choreo.
Yeah. I think what's really amazing about you too is that, like, you're old school. Like, you're secretly like foundational. And I feel like people forget about that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like that essence, that vibe.
Yeah.
You really forget about it. But it shows in the long run. So I think it's really good that, you know, people are like, go to you first.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you insert that true essence right away.
And I think a lot of it too is us, like, if I can't do something, I'll bring somebody around that can do it for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I won't completely try to, like, create and make up some, like, I mean, not, listen now, and this is where you hear my patois. I'm not going to do no dance that I can't do. So I'm not going to do no six step and call myself teaching it. I will call everybody I know. Shout out to XL and you know, anybody else who teaches six step or anybody who does locking, a.k.a. Carl. Like, I'll call out folks that I know can do it. Tony Tucker, like, you know, Ricardo Foster. You know, if it's something to do with a jazz funk and I know I'm not able to really kill it like that, I will be calling Patrick. I will be calling Marco Zagar, Ian McKenzie, if I could, or Jasenia Velasquez. Like, those, you know, and the list is, I got a plethora of lists. I'll send you somewhere before I put you in a position to sort of make up what I think you need. Like, no. If I cannot do it, I will send you to who I know for a fact would be the best option for you. With that being said,
at the end of the day, it's the product. You know,
exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, that brings me to my next question with you is, like, what's your specialty? What's your technique? Because I see you do so many different styles that what do you think is your specialty and technique?
Yeah, I think, like, at the end of the day, I'm street jazz.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
and
like
you're bringing it back.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah.
What up? Like,
yeah. I mean, I'm trying to, you know, like, that was the style.
Yeah.
Like, that was, and even in the late 90s, too, right? Like, street jazz is a cool spot because it was, I mean, that's Paula Abdul, right? She was kind of like the forerunner.
Mm-hmm.
And then it got kind of, it kind of stopped. And then it went back in like the 2000s, but it was more emphasis on the street than the jazz. That makes sense? Like there's much more hip hop. And that was just like my thing. You know, I loved that. And plus like my people who, you know, who trained me.
Right.
That's their stuff. So I kind of caught on to that. But, I mean, that's my specialty, I'd say. But then again, right, like, I need to be, for me, well-rounded.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, because if I'm doing a choreo and a routine, like, and there's, like, a clear part that I want to do some voguing in, or a clear part I want to do some whacking in, right? Like, I got to know my stuff.
Exactly. I agree. I agree. Because you can't call yourself doing it a little bit. Like, I mean, I goof off with it. You know why? And I don't goof off in it in a disrespectful way. I goof off with it because I haven't formally trained. I've been around people who know it, who teach it, who breathe it, who live it, and is in that lifestyle and in that culture. And we were able to utilize it in different platforms, such as the hair world, the hair fashion show, and you know, hair battles, and we toured and traveled with, shout out to Muffin and Moses, LaRome, Sophia, you know, Tisha, Scott, like Alluring Beauty, like, you know, just different people that we worked with that utilized, you know, voguing and showed the differences between voguing and whacking.
You know, and how they intersect too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Because I mean, the thing is like, you know, in that world, like that's a community that gets left out. The hair world and battles and stuff, that stuff gets left out. Legit.
Yeah.
And so we were able to bring dance to the hair world and make it come to life, you know? For me, I have, you know, I want to know what's your favorite part about the business, because this is a business. You know what I mean? Like, what's your favorite part about the business? Do you like the, you know, the rehearsals, the auditioning? Is it the, you know, the touring, the, you know, the shows? You know, is it the creative spaces, like creative part of it, or the money? Like, what's your favorite part of it? You know, I gotta ask them questions though.
No, it's so funny because when it comes to the money part too, right? Like, the amount of free stuff I've done is ridiculous. But in my mind, it was never like I wasn't being like, oh, I'll take this shit to do it for free.
Mm-hmm.
It was more like, oh great, I have an opportunity. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, oh, just teach. Oh great, I can just do this. And so. But now I think I'm, like, on the other... I think I've done too much of that. You know what I mean?
Yep.
For me, it's the process. Like, not even, like, the rehearsal process, but it's the process of seeing... of growing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And because people discover themselves in dance all the time. All the time. I mean, I did. And I keep discovering myself through dance all the time. You know? And... what I loved, this is my favorite thing, is the inspiration element. Because there's not a lot of things or a lot of crafts you can do outside of the artist world, really. But even especially, for me, it's especially dance. That you get to inspire yourself. That you can, like, watch yourself. Like, whoa, I did that?
Right. Right. You, like, when you look at, you're talking about when you lock eyes on, like, your choreo after, like, stepping away from it and seeing it. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. And I think even dancers have this, too, right? Like, when you just watch yourself and you're like, I can't believe I just did this.
Yeah. I had that moment with this new video getting ready to come up for MKX. Shout out to MKX, man. He just shot a video for Right Place at the Right Time. And he's launching it in a different way, and I love it because he is like the male version of Lady Gaga. He is a more electronic and, you know, older version and younger version, if you will, the in between of Shawn Mendes. Like his work ethic and how he works matches mine, And I love it because that, you know, it's hard to get an artist to work with that matches the same effort and the same work ethic and drive as you, as well as dancers. Like, shout out to Kimmy Tremblay because she, you know, she's been my rock, you know. And I'm excited with the same thing. I just seen the proof, the video proof for the actual video that they, you know, all the edits are done and all of that. And I was just like, damn, I did that. You know what I mean? That's like one of the first times I could say, damn, I did that. And, you know, even Marcella Cruz, like, as much as we, you know, we worked together on Magic, I did the choreo for it. She touches it just a tad bit, but just the personality she took on came to life, and she did that. Like, and I could say, damn, we worked on that. You know, I did that for her. And, like, I can honestly take credit for my work now. Before, I'd be like, oh, bashful and whatever. No, I'm actually, this is a job. I'm not working at a brokerage firm like Patrick. You remember when I was at the damn brokerage firm, hating it to death, not wanting to really do this, and having to be a, like, cheating on my craft. Like, now this is the job. You know what I mean?
Yeah, what a good way to say it too. Like, kind of feels like cheating on your craft. Mm-hmm. Like you're cheating on a relationship. Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, you know, because you was doing it, you're like, okay, well, I got to go to class now. And I'm like, well, when are you going to come back to Boston? I'll be there Sunday, click. Like,
seriously.
Remember? I would be like, I would be hitting him up on Instagram on his inbox, and he'd be like, I'm on my way to class. And I wouldn't be able to really chat with him too much because he's on his way to class, but he's teaching on a Sunday. And then he's like, got these visuals out here that's crazy. Like, if you guys get a chance to check out his social media, which we're going to give you that information, I'd encourage you to watch his visuals because he's a beast. He's a beast. Watch. Yeah, I mean, I just remember that, and I'd be like sneaking on Instagram while I'm at the brokerage firm watching your visuals. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that means a lot. No,
because I hated the job, so I was like passing time by. You know?
Yeah, I mean, even while I was in law school, like, right? Because you can't really miss classes. Like, there's the ABA, the American Bar Association, is very specific about when you can. And like, I have auditions in New York, you know, and I, like, auditions I didn't want to miss, like, for, like, J-Lo and stuff like that, you know? And so, I mean, I would tell them I had interviews, and in a sense, they were interviews.
And you'd be sneaking out of an audition or a show or whatever.
Yeah, and there are auditions that I really wanted to go to. Mm-hmm. Like, Steven Spielberg he's just finished shooting In the Heights. I have a bunch of friends in it, too, you know? And I couldn't make that audition because I was doing my law stuff. But I also, like, don't hate the law stuff either. So I'm like, you know, I'm figuring it out. I'm in it right now. I'm in it.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, is noble. I think it's dope that you're figuring out what you want to do, how you want to do it. You're cultivating a style.
Mm.
You know what I mean? You're figuring out where you are in this Boston scene and making a lane. And I love it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's important that you do that. You take the time to do it because you do need to figure out what, you know, at the table, your seat at the table, push your elbows around and say, okay, I'm here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and it's important.
Like, you are so welcoming too about it. You know, not everyone's like that.
Well, I mean, you know, I know that all too well too, because we have, you know, I'm grateful for the supporters of this podcast because, like I said, it's not about me. I mean, I love the idea. I'm like our dance scene's cheerleader, our ambassador, I try to speak on behalf of us. Like, even whenever I ask each choreographer or each dancer or even each DJ, who are you? They can't tell me because no one ever gives them the opportunity to talk about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean? And it's very hard to hear that question because you're like, what? You know, what? You're programmed to talk about other people, you know?
Like, and investing in yourself seems like a an alien concept.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, even
within that same breath, too. Like, the way I like to teach is I like to work with assistants.
Yeah.
And it's not even necessarily for. I mean, yeah. On one hand, it is for me because the teaching process is way easier because then I have people doing it and I can fix people in the class. That makes you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just me being in the front and then hoping they catch on. It's a bit more hands-on, but on the other end, for them, like, I have so many of my assistants in the past, like, 9 years since I've been teaching that, like, teach their own classes, are choreographers, run their own programs, you know? And I'm not saying that because of me, but I think having the opportunity just to, you know, help me teach and stuff like that was just a good catalyst.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think, like, I'm a huge, again, proponent of just giving back and making sure I create other opportunities for other people. And I think that's what you're doing, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because the thing is, it's like, okay, well, who's going to do it for us? Because ain't nobody thinking about us. You know what I mean? Look at how what's happening. Even just, okay, so just even just from the dancer's aspect, look at what's happening around us in terms of the artist, period. We don't have space. They're not considering us at all, you know, which is more work to do. We're now being considered as an art form, as a job, not a hobby. We are not just props mm-hmm. in the back. Shout out to Missy Elliott for that, because I cried when she gave that speech, because this is what I'm talking about. This is why I do this podcast. This is why I advocate for us. This is why when we step in a room, we're not accepting no $50 to do nothing. Like, it's $50 an hour to talk to to us about what you want to do. What are your needs? You know what I'm saying? That's a consultation fee. The time and the effort that it takes to do what we're trying to do, is so much more. So, you know.
And especially because a lot of artists, and I say artists, I mean like vocal and performing artists, will look at dancers for I'm not even saying inspiration, but like you get hired to dance for an artist, and they're looking at you for style, like what to wear, even the style of movement, quality of just like performance and visual. And a lot of people who work with artists are actually choreographers. Who are also creative directors,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, dancers we use our bodies to create visuals.
That's right.
So we're kind of, you know, in a sense, the ultimate actor, the ultimate creative, because we're consistently projecting without even using our voices.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I completely agree with you. And it's a craft that is just so profound, even though it doesn't seem it, especially with the Instagram culture. You know, like, I don't even post that much, and there's a reason for that, and it's because I'm trying to train to be good, not post, you know, random videos that I took in class just because I can get more followers or anything like that, which is also another element of the culture that I'm not too crazy about.
Right. I mean, the thing that's also cool is that, you know, you know, you also bring an element that is kind of missing. You know what I mean? So right now, the dance of the day, as I would say mm-hmm. it, is now seemingly Afrobeat, a lot of Caribbean.
That pocket, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And sort of like this new wave sort of creative movement that has the elements of hip hop in it in different, like, you know, foundation, like, you know what, you know what I mean? Like, it's like they're fusing it with contemporary, they're fusing it with jazz, they're fusing it with hip hop, and they're fusing it with, you know, Caribbean culture, and it's all one thing.
Right, and then when you fuse too much, and you're not really doing it anymore. You're like doing
exactly. You know, so this is where, you know, this is where, you know, we have to sort of now get back to the thing. You know, what is the thing? Like, what is the thing that we need to get back to? Like, what is that? You know, and a lot of the times we don't even notice it. We notice it. The founders be noticing it because they'll call it out quick. Like, yo, don't be calling it hip hop now. Yeah, now it has to be considered time. Commercial dance, or it needs to be. It has to be called, just so that it's not misappropriating the culture. It has to be called a, you know, a open class, drop-in class that's commercial or urban dance. It's not, you know, it's not, don't be calling it hip hop type of stuff. You know, I mean, just those things. So, like, I think it's great that you are now going, hey, let's reel it back in. We did all of that other stuff, and now we're going to bring it back to, okay, we're going to do street jazz. We're going to do jazz. Now, what's up? Are y'all in that posture? Y'all ready to do it? Let's do it, you know?
Like, I mean, I'll do, like, hip-hop, you know, like grooves and funk. That's what, like, my mentor Bev was, you know what I mean? And so I'll be like, great, like, you're not doing it like a hip-hop dancer. You're doing it like a jazz dancer. Do you know why? You know what I mean? Like, your spine is supposed to be like this. But I'm a huge proponent of that. And I actually trained with Showtime while I was in L.A. And, man, he's like an OG, right? Like, he choreographed for everyone. Like, Busta, you know, mm-hmm. everyone. And so he was a huge proponent of that, right? Like, he really went in and showed us what was happening. And he was consistently saying that, you know, we're the next generation. And he's happy for us to continue and evolve the craft. We got to know the craft itself first.
Exactly. Now, I have a question in regards to your up and coming. What do you have up and coming?
Yeah. So I'm teaching a bunch of random classes in October. It's been difficult to find a space, like we talked about.
Exactly.
But the dance conference has been really great. And I think the dance conference is a really beautiful space, too. And so I'm teaching classes. I'll tell you exactly when. But my official
what style?
Yeah. So I'm teaching all level street. And the reason I'm doing that.
Love it.
Yeah, thank you. The reason I'm doing that is because, and I don't know if you agree or not, but this is what I've seen. And maybe I'm just not in the Boston dance scene too much. But there isn't a lot of, there's either like very advanced classes or very beginner classes. There's nothing in between. There's no like transitionary classes. Mm-hmm. And so I'm trying to kind of fill in that gap, but I'm trying to almost do like a survey class. So like, great, like today we're doing Britney. Like this week we're doing Britney and it's going to be like super street jazz. Great. Next week we're doing Missy Elliott, Get Your Freak On, and it's going to be, you know, really hip hop in that era. Great. Now we're going to do, I don't know, whatever it is. You know what I mean? We'll mm-hmm. do Sean Paul. And so, or Conscience or whatever. And so it's going to be like all level street because I'm trying to give people different styles, but make each class its own style. Does that make sense?
Yep.
So that when people want to take these advanced classes, they know things. You know, they don't go in kind of blind. So that's what I'm going to be doing. And then inevitably, I want to just teach like a intermediate advanced street jazz class.
That's going to be dope. Like, because the thing is that, you know, we want something. I guess people, what I'm trying to get at is like people want something new, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. They want something, not, I wouldn't even say new, you know? I think they're looking for nostalgia, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, they want the essence. They want the
exactly.
The where it came from. Yeah. So I'm teaching, all right, here we go. I got the list. So I got Monday, October 14th, 8:30 to 10.
Hey.
And then Wednesday, October 23rd, uh-huh. 8:30 to 10. And we got Wednesday, October 30th, 6:30 to 8. And that's going to be a special Halloween class.
Ooh.
And then,
are we getting dressed up? Are we coming as, what are we coming as, cats? Yeah, am I coming as a cat? You know that's my go-to, right? That is, yes, it is my go-to, like, ridiculous.
Nice. Yeah, no, I feel like that's a good one for you. I feel like I've seen you in that outfit before.
I've done it all different types of ways. I've done a nerdy cat. I've done, like, a regular cat. Like, it's ridiculous. That's the makeup I know how to do, man.
Right, dude. Yeah, I mean, you gotta, it's your brand. You
right, know? Look, listen, once you know how to do one particular makeup for a costume or whatever, then you just keep it at that, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And then Tuesday, November 5th, 7:30 to 9, and after that, it's just Tuesdays at 6, starting November 12th, I think, or 11th, whatever that Tuesday is, I think it's 12th, at 6 until, for an hour and a half. First half hour is warm-up, stretching, grooves, that kind of technique, and then we go into choreo.
That's dope. So, dope. Yeah. So you really have like a whole setup of how you're gonna do it.
Oh yeah, I've been doing it within the same way within variation for the past 9 years.
That's amazing. I love it. Love it. We're lucky.
Yeah. Thank you. No, honestly, it's really glad to hear that feedback because, you know, sometimes you don't, maybe other people are saying that, but you don't get to hear it.
Well, if you pay attention, P, like, if you pay attention to what the city's already has, then you can figure out to fill out, that's how you fill out its void. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? That's how you're able to do it, you know?
Yeah.
If you really pay attention.
So many people want to connect here. It's amazing.
Well, I mean, we need it. I mean, we ain't got no choice. Like, we got to figure out as much as possible how we can fill these needs and voids, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. You
know? What is your favorite place to be? Is it the stage? Is it in a studio rehearsing? Is it, you know, traveling on a tour or some sort of travel where you have to travel to dance? You know, what's your favorite place to be?
I think it depends on the era of my life. But while I was in law school, I taught at a competition studio. And I really enjoyed sitting and watching the dancers.
Mm-hmm.
Because, especially because, I mean, they were kids, but my kids were beasts. I couldn't even believe, you know, they would, like, come in with, like, their Hello Kitty, you know, lunch boxes, and they would come out of the dressing room with, like, you know, like, 8-packs, you know, like, on their stomach. What? You know? It felt like that scene from Space Jam.
Wow,
yeah. I felt about my kids, you know, and I just really, I was just such a proud, proud dance teacher watching them on stage. And even when I create, like, more professional, you know, stuff for the industry, just watching it from the audience, it's just so amazing to me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing watching the people I have, you know, grown to have relationships with, be in their element and just love what they're doing. Yeah, I'm a bit of an observer. So I really just love that. I really just love watching people grow at the end of the day. So
and that's the best part about, like, well, now where's your favorite place that you've traveled to for dance?
Probably London. I like London a lot.
London's trouble, you hear me? Let me tell you why London is trouble. Okay.
Okay.
I used to live in England for 4 years, right? And every time we went to London, we shopped, okay? And it's expensive. And then when we moved to Germany, and we traveled back to London for, like, a spring break or whatever, all my little pocket money gone. It's so much fun. Like, I'm saying that as in a facetious way. London is actually dope. Don't, you know, hear me with good ears. Like, travel there. It's amazing. But, you know, make sure you have your pocket full.
Yeah.
And then there's always somewhere to go. Like, I would say this too. Their partying ain't like the how you think you can party in Boston, first of all. Like, when you go to New York, you know, the party don't start till like 1, 12 or 1. So be prepared to stay out all night partying.
Yeah.
And it's the same concept, except worse, when you go to England. Because in London, Their joints don't start till the same time, but they go till the next day. Like, I remember being at Sounds, you know, where this is when Junglist was out. And Junglist is a.k.a. like Prodigy and you know, a lot of... It's what you guys were kind of replaced it with in terms of EDM. It isn't EDM, mm-hmm. but it was like a drum and bass type of... Like, the beats were crazy, and they would always mix it with... They had a whole sound, so it'd be like 5 different DJs there, and each DJ they basically were there for specific genres of music. So one would be there for like electronic and techno, and then the other one would be there for house and hip hop, and then there'd be another one for reggae and rockers, and then you got another one who's there for, you know, Latin and Afro, and you know what I mean, like, and they were rocking that back in the day, like in the 90s, like you. It would just be crazy. So, you know, each DJ had their time and their shift, and they would go like toe to toe. They go 2 hours straight through this particular music. Mm-hmm. Then you go the next 2 hours. Like, so by the time you're leaving this event or this party, It's not in the morning. Like, you know what I'm saying? You still in the same clothes in the next day, like from the
it's
day
time
before.
For breakfast.
You coming home like and nobody's looking at you like the walk of shame because you know where you was at. Like, but you know, in the States, that's like, where are you coming from with them heels on and that metallic glitter shirt, girl? Yep. It's 10 a.m. You know what I mean? Where you coming from? Hair all jacked up, makeup done, like, you know. So I will say, like, London has, I have a lot of very fond memories of London, but I can definitely admit that I cannot keep up with London partying and or New York partying. Because y'all's party is really party. You know what I mean?
You got to pace yourself, too. It's just, you know, it's too much sometimes.
Yeah. Of course. Let's see. To me, I want to know from you, are you doing what you love?
I don't know. I've always kind of struggled with that concept because I think we all define love in different ways, you know? Mm-hmm. But I think for me, undoubtedly, I say that I care about dance. Because many of the decisions I make in my life have that in the back of my head. So as long as I'm doing that, and I'll give you examples too. Like I wanted to go to law school in Boston, but I ended up applying to other places because the schools contacted me, and I got full rides to places outside of Boston. And my first instinct was, but can I dance at these places? And that was like a factor in what law school I chose was if they had a dance scene or not.
Wow.
And so I think, I think as long as I'm able to dance, I think I'll have a happy life.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I think, and that's important too. Like, I mean, as long as you get to have access to it and being creative, you know. Where can we find you and where can we stay connected to you at on your social media?
Yeah, so I'm more active on my Instagram, and that's where I'll post my classes and updates. And it's just my name with a period in between, so it's patrick.opran, O-P-R-A-N. And that's kind of how it's better.
So I pronounced it horrible. It's not Popran, it's Upran, right?
Yeah, but I used to have Popran as my Instagram name.
Oh, that's like why. Okay. Yeah, I wasn't bugging. Okay.
No. And people call me Popran all the time. Like in
because he's Popran.
Yeah. Maybe that'll be like a brand idea. Who knows?
Maybe. I mean, that's not a bad idea, though.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, that's where you can find me.
Are you considering doing, what's your YouTube?
I don't really have a YouTube. I know.
Oh, well, guess what? Are you considering doing a YouTube?
I am. Actually, I was writing down ideas for it today.
That's dope.
Yeah, I think when I start teaching my more, like, advanced classes and stuff like that, mm-hmm. maybe I'll post some of the things I've done as well.
Yeah, I think you need to, because, I mean, they need to see your content videos for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you've seen them and stuff, and you've seen my class videos.
Yep, that's what I love to see.
Yeah.
Where so you're in the midst of creating and cultivating your YouTube and on that presence there. What's your message you want to leave with people? What's your message?
The message that I want to leave with people.
Our listeners, like, what would you want to? What message would you leave them?
Well, I'll say this. This is a phrase that I hear a lot, but I never understood or agreed with until I conceptualized it better. And it's that the concept of, like, happiness is a choice.
Yeah.
And why I'm saying it like that is because it when we say it like that, it almost seems that something horrible just happened to you and you're like, but I'll be happy. Like, that's not really how it works. You know, I wish it was. What I think is meant by that is that if you want to be happy and if you want to upgrade your life in whatever way, you have to choose to start that process. You have to choose to start that journey and continue with that journey, you know?
versus just being in your funk in the bad sense of the word. And so I think the message I'll leave with the listeners is anything you want is possible.
That's true.
Especially if you've daydreamed about it.
Mm-hmm.
In a sense, that's like the universe saying that it's for you.
Yeah, I agree. I can agree with that.
Yeah, but you gotta choose for yourself to make it happen in the 3D, not just in the, 5D realm, not just in your head. So yeah, I think that's the truth that I'm trying to live and that I've been living.
Love it. Yeah. It's been such an amazing opportunity to sit and talk with you, and I appreciate you taking the time. So you guys heard it here first, Patrick Oprin. It is an amazing it's an amazing time right now for him to be stationary in Massachusetts, in Cambridge to be exact. If you get the opportunity, take his class, check him out on Instagram, patrick.oprin.
Mm-hmm.
Look out for his visuals and his concept videos and this YouTube channel that he's going to cultivate. I'm speaking it to existence before before 2020, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Or in 2020, we'll get that from him. But stay connected to him on his social media and see what he has coming up next. Remember, he has October 14th, October 23rd, and thereafter. So pay attention to that social media setting so you can find out the times and how to get into his class and take that street jazz that he's getting ready to give you guys. Yes. You hear it here first, Miss 5678. Yo, I appreciate you, P. And we definitely got to collaborate, put our heads together, and do some stuff, you know?
Yes, I'm mad respect for you and you're a huge anchor here in the Boston Dance community. You know, I mean, the classes you teach, the work you're doing, even outside of the dance class space, like with this podcast, is just amazing.
Thank you, really. Thank you. I'm trying. Well, we definitely need more listeners. We need more people on here with a presence. Our dance community needs to sort of continue supporting and step up and put this podcast on the charts. You know, I'm noticing, all the other podcasts on there, but ours needs a presence too. So if I'm asking our community, our dance community, nationwide, worldwide, to put the Dancers Report on the charts. Let's try to do that, and spread the word that this is even, something that we have access to. And, on top of that, we got the DJs out here. We're repping the DJs too. So y'all look out for Patrick.Oprin.
There you go. All
thank
right. Thank you.
You.
So much. 5678.
Yes.
Let's go.
I don't know what I took. All I know.
Mix Kings.
That I'm hurt. 24 hours got me seeing blue dragons. Innie got me speaking different language. Thinking about the world, now my mind go tragic. Thinking about the world, now my mind go tragic. Turn it up, so. Right now, I don't think that I'll ever come down, cause this feels better to me than anybody reality.
Miss 5678 Dances Report Podcast.